Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This is Thomas Birtel calling, and as usual, I would like to present you the latest figures of the STRABAG Group, which date from the third quarter of 2017. I trust that you all have our presentation in front of you and would like to start with page number 3, the top line of the group. In the first 9 months of 2017, we generated an output volume of 10.4 billion euros, which means an increase of plus 9%. This upwards trend is being driven especially by the German transportation infrastructures business, as expected, and by a number of mid-sized building construction civil engineering projects in Austria. But business growth can also be observed in our group's core markets of Central and Eastern Europe. Our order backlog at 16 billion euros again reached a very high level, a plus of 7% versus 30th September 2016. Contributing to this development once more were numerous new large orders from the public sector and the industry in our largest markets, namely in Germany, Austria, Poland, Hungary, and the Slovak Republic. STRABAG had generated about 75% of its output volume in these countries in the previous year. Let's now come to the result figures. I start with chart number 4. The EBITDA remained stable at 448.4 million after 450.4 million euros in the previous 9 month period. It should be, however, noted that in the second quarter of the previous year, the results had included earnings in the amount of almost 28 million euros from the sale of a minority shareholding related to the acquisition of the minority interest in our subsidiary at Züblin AG that cannot be assigned to the operating business. Adjusted for this non-operative one-off effect of the previous year, the EBITDA in the nine-month period increased by 6%. The depreciation and amortization were up slightly, so that the EBIT figure came to rest at 170.6 million euros, for a minus of 3% compared to the same period of the previous year. Adjusted again for the positive one-off effect in the previous year I already mentioned before, this represents a plus, an adjusted plus of 15%. We come to page number 5. The interest income, meanwhile, fell from minus 13 million euros to minus 43 million. This is due to negative internal exchange rate differences of minus 27 million euros after positive exchange rate differences of plus 4 million in the comparison period of the previous year. Income tax fell by 15%, leaving a net income of 78 million, which is a minus of 25%, not adjusted for the one-off effect I already mentioned. The third-party share amounted to 4.5 million euros in the previous year's comparison period. Until April, there had still been minority shareholdings in Stuttgart-based its subsidiary Züblin. This figure then amounted to 0.6 million euros. All in all, this leads to a net income after minorities of 74 million euros. With 102,600,000 outstanding shares, this corresponds to earnings per share of 72 euro cents after 1 euro 2 euro cents in the first 9 months of the previous year, always keeping in mind the one of last year. We come to our balance sheet and we have a look on that on slide number 6. With 10.6 billion euros, the balance sheet total changed only little versus the end of 2016. The equity ratio remained high at 30.8% compared to 31.5% at the end of 2016. Our net cash position stood at almost 15 million euros, decreasing as seasonally usual versus the end figure, but turning from the net debt position that had existed at the end of the comparison period last year. We come to our cash flow development. The overview is given on chart number 7. Our cash flow from operating activities at -85 million euros was significantly less deep in negative territory than in the first half of the previous year, when it had still amounted to -570 million euros. This is due above all to the increase in trade payables, which in the first half of 2016 had been reduced due to an unusually high level of advanced payments at the beginning of this year. Moreover, the nine-month period last year had been burdened with unusually high income tax payments. Our cash flow from investing activities remained nearly unchanged at -242 million euros. The higher level of investments in property, plant, and equipment was balanced out by an inflow of funds from changes to the scope of consolidation following the sale of a real estate development project. The cash flow from financing activities stood at -199 million euros after -422 million in the previous year, when the figure had been strongly influenced by the acquisition of the minority shares in Zublin AG in Germany. We now come to our three operational segments. The first and most important one is North and West, which comprises our building in construction and civil engineering activities in Germany, in Poland, in Scandinavia, and in the Benelux states. The output volume of this segment reached 4.8 billion euros in the first nine months of 2017, a plus of 10% compared to the already high level of the previous year. This development reflects the market-related growth in transportation infrastructures in Germany, the largest single market in the segment and for the group. Thanks in part to improved project earnings in Germany and Denmark, the EBIT moved from -8.4 million already into positive territory with +25 million euros in the first nine months of 2017. The order backlog of the segment was also influenced mainly by the figures from Germany as well as from Poland, growing by +9% versus 30th September 2016 to 7.7 billion euros. The most important new projects acquired to date in 2017 include the construction of a production facility for an automobile manufacturer, as well as a new factory for a provider of electronic components, both in Germany. In Poland, we were hired to modernize a 20-kilometer section of railway between Kraków and Rudice, to expand the metropolitan rail line serving Kraków suburbs, and to build Kraków's tallest high-rise tower. The situation in Northern Europe was mixed. In Denmark, the order backlog fell back due to the completion of a building construction project in Copenhagen that the group had been working on for the past few years. In Benelux, on the other hand, this figure grew thanks to a contract to build two high-rise towers in Amsterdam and the Netherlands. A word on the segment outlook. The output volume in North and West in 2017 is expected to grow considerably in a year-on-year comparison, an assumption that is already covered by existing contracts. The German building construction and civil engineering business continues to contribute positively to both output volume and earnings. By binding subcontractors and suppliers at an early stage, attempts are being made to counter the capacity bottleneck in the face of the good employment situation and the upwards price trend, for instance, for reinforcing steel. The upwards trend in German transportation infrastructures business is also expected to continue in the medium term. In the spring of 2016, the German federal government had announced substantially increased investments in transportation infrastructures. Investments totaling around 265 billion euros are planned for more efficient transport networks until the year 2030. Due to the higher number of tenders in the region-wide business, however, the number of tender participants is on the decline, so that prices overall are moderately on the rise. Because of the scarcer capacities, however, a more considerable price increase can be seen in some regions. Qualified staff remains a limiting factor for further noteworthy growth. The tender volumes in the Polish construction sector have grown considerably so far in 2017. At the same time, the Polish government added new routes to its 2014 to 2023 transportation infrastructures program and so adjusted the volume upwards. However, considerable price increases must now be expected for subcontractor services and construction materials, the same picture as in Germany. A far better situation can be seen in railway construction, where we have already been able to land several noteworthy new contracts this year. Overall, an output plus in the low double-digit percent can be expected in Poland in 2017. In Benelux and Scandinavia, the upward trend of the markets remains unbroken. In the years to come, the Danish construction industry will be especially interesting for German construction companies. Investments totaling more than 60 billion euros are planned in Denmark by the year 2023, including projects such as bridges, roads, railways, and the revitalization of urban industrial areas. Let's now come to the second geographic segment of the group, which is South and East, comprising the home market of Austria, Switzerland, and all the building construction and civil engineering activities in the central and eastern region. This segment generated, and this is given on slide number 9, an output volume of a little more than 3 billion euros in the first 9 months of this year, which is 5% more than in the same period of the preceding year. Driving this growth were markets like Austria, Hungary, and Slovakia. In other markets, for example, in Romania, the output volume was down in a year-on-year comparison. The EBIT of the segment continued to improve even more from 116 million to 139 million, thanks to developments in several countries such as Hungary. The order backlog of South and East is also showing very positive development. The figure of more than 4.2 million, billion euros represents a plus of 19% versus 30th September 2016. This growth was driven mainly by large orders in the group's core markets. In Austria, for instance, the order books are being filled, among other things, by numerous building construction contracts in Vienna. In Hungary, we are working on new road and rail orders, are building an art storage facility, have been chosen to renovate Budapest's historic Eiffel Hall, and are modernizing the metro system in the Hungarian capital. In the Slovak Republic, we are handling the site development of the important Nitra Industrial Park. And in Croatia, we have been awarded the contract to expand the Dubrovnik Airport. With regard to the segment's outlook, I would like to state that in 2017, we expect to be able to grow our output and to keep the margins at an attractive level. In our home market of Austria, the building construction market in the greater Vienna area continues to exhibit dynamic growth. In contrast, the transportation infrastructures and civil engineering business is characterized by fierce competition. The situation in the Slovak Republic has so far been characterized by large EU co-financed infrastructure projects with a focus on the automobile industry and sports infrastructure. In Czech Republic, meanwhile, projects had mostly involved private clients in building construction and industrial facilities. Both countries are now showing a disproportionate increase in prices for subcontractor prices and a clear scarcity of qualified personnel, as well as often unjustifiable pricing by the competition. In view of the number of public tenders in Hungary, we register a promising economic framework in this country. However, the prices for subcontractors, services are rising here too. The market volume in Switzerland is stagnating at a higher level. Despite several announced tenders in infrastructure construction, the price situation remains tense. Still, business is developing according to plan for the group. The markets in Southeast Europe remain at a hotly contested level. This is true in building construction and civil engineering as well as in transportation infrastructures. We now come to our third and most heterogeneous segment, which is called International Special Divisions, comprising tunneling business, real estate development, PPP, concession business, building raw materials business, and our real estate development and facility management. In the first 9 months of 2017, the output volume of this segment increased by 10% to a little more than 2.4 billion euros. This development was driven especially by large projects in our core markets of Austria, Germany, and the Americas. In the comparison period of the previous year, the sale of real estate projects had resulted in a higher than average contribution to the EBIT. This figure was now on a more normal level and decreased from 53 million euros last year to 24 million euros this year. In the period under review, the write-up of a yielding receivable from a concession project in Poland was contrasted by a further negative effect on earnings from the cautious evaluation of a large project in Chile. The order backlog of the segment fell back by 6% versus September 2016 and amounted to 4.1 billion euros. In Austria, orders grew from a contract related to the Brenner Base Tunnel and from the tunneling works for the GKI power plant being carried out in a consortium. A negative effect came especially from the reduction of the order volume in the first quarter of 2017 at an Italian transportation infrastructures project. In the third quarter, it was announced that Strabag, as a member of a consortium, was being awarded the contract for the main civil engineering works for lots S1 and S2 for the new HS2 high-speed railway link in the United Kingdom between London and Birmingham. The construction volume is estimated at about 2 billion British pounds. For now, however, only the volume for the preparatory phase, a double-digit million euro amount, was registered in our order backlog. New orders for the segment are also coming in from outside of Europe, where projects include the construction of the Tiba Dam in Kenya, Africa's highest bridge over the River Mentu in South Africa, and another approximately 12 kilometers of tunneling for the wastewater system in Singapore. With regard to the segment's outlook, in 2017, it should be possible to generate a slightly higher output volume. The real estate development business of the segment continues to show unchanged positive development. The economic framework is expected to remain positive in the medium term. Close observation of interest rates and property prices is necessary, however. The property and facility services business has so far made quite positive contributions to the earnings. However, as already announced by 30th of June 2019 at the latest, Strabag Property and Facility Services will end the management of real estate, technical facilities, data centers, and cellular towers of Deutsche Telekom. The corresponding service agreement is expiring after a period of 10 years. Strabag PFS offered to continue to manage the Deutsche Telekom properties until 2028 was not accepted. With this loss of a key client that had contributed annual average about 550 million euros, the company must undergo a fundamental reorganization. Strabag PFS will now intensify its sales activities in the property and facility service business, and we have already seen considerable success in the first 9 months of the year, as it is given on page number 9 of our interim report. The public-private partnership business at Strabag, organized within the infrastructure development unit, has a project pipeline in Northern Europe, but stagnating markets, especially in Southeast Europe. For this reason, the company is focusing on selected markets outside of Europe, even if this involves considerable bid-related costs. In our non-European markets, we are focused on offering those services that require a high degree of technological expertise. This includes not only specialties such as toll technology, test track construction or pipe checking, but also know-how-based projects in tunneling, dam construction or transportation infrastructures. We do not, however, expect these markets to gain relative importance for the group, which means that they will be stagnating at a level of 5 to 6% of the annual output of the group. The development of our construction materials business is strongly tied to the construction economy of the individual countries. Thanks to the high tendering activity in transportation infrastructures, the situation with regard to concrete and stone and gravel is especially positive in Eastern Europe. High demand has led to a higher level of production, but competitive pressure has been keeping prices stable. We now come to the final slide, number 11, with the complete outlook for the group. Today we are confirming our expectations for the full year of 2017. This is not a matter of course. STRABAG is involved in some 12,000 construction projects every year, including many large-scale and even mega-projects. In carrying out our work, several risks can arise simultaneously. At the same time, however, it is also possible to regularly turn opportunities into earnings. All in all, this makes our business model robust enough to allow us to maintain our earnings forecast. And so it is that, after 9 months in 2017, we can report operating incomes that are nearly unchanged in comparison to the same period last year, despite the fact that the one-off effect in 2016 had resulted in an upwards distortion of the earnings figures. I am therefore very pleased to confirm, and in the case of our output volume, to raise our forecast for the 2017 full year. The output volume should now rise to 14.5 billion. Our previous forecast was at least 14 billion, and the EBIT margin should reach at least 3% on sales. Certain risks are inherent to the construction business. We control these risks using a group-wide risk management system and realistic planning. We hope that you appreciate this approach. Our track record of reliability doesn't go without saying in our industry. Thank you very much for your attention. Now I'm open, as usually, for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And the first question is from the line of Markus Remes with RCB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. First question relates to the third quarter earnings impact of the Alto Maipo project and the positive effect coming from this receivable write-up. If you could provide us with some figures here, if not on a individual basis, then maybe a net figure for these two effects.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Remes. As you know, we do not disclose, for obvious reasons, single project's results, but the balance of the two effects, minor double-digit million euro amount.
Negative, so Alto Maipo.
Negative, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, and staying with Alto Maipo, you said, or I think the term was again a negative effect. So forgive my ignorance, but I was not aware that you have already booked provisions for this project in the first half.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. We already had booked provisions in a considerable size last year. But this is a project in dire straits, and of course we have a very close view on the project, and we have to evaluate it every month, if not every quarter.
Okay, so can you say in which quarter 2016 that was booked?
It was a continuous process over all the quarters, because it's a very dynamic business.
All right. Okay. And if you could maybe summarize the status quo of this project. We had the news that there was some preliminary agreement with the client, you taking over the lot of Hochtiefs. If you could provide us with a comprehensive update on what this project or on the status of the project.
Voluntarily. It is true that by the end of November, which is by last Friday, we were in a position to conclude a so-called term sheet with the customer, which is a sort of letter of intent to enter into negotiations about a new building contract. This term sheet, however, is still subject to the approval of our supervisory board. If we get this approval, we would have to come to a new construction contract. And this construction contract, again, would have to be approved by the banks of our customer. So we expect this development, new construction contract and bank approval, to take place in the first quarter of next year only. So for the time being, we just have a term sheet, which in my eyes is a positive development. And the, let's say, the final fate of what we aim at with the term sheet jointly with the customer will become completely clear the first quarter of 2018.
Okay. And how much of the project has already been worked off? You provided a figure in the half-year report. Any update on this?
Yeah.
Or by how much would your contract size increase with this new?
We have to make a differentiation between the lot we have already in our order books and the lot we would eventually get additionally into our order books because of the cancellation of the parallel contract which the customer had with another building consortium. With regard to Strabag's lot, we could state that our completion degree is clearly above 50% already. With regard to the second lot, which we would eventually get as a new order intake, we estimate that we are at a completion degree of about 30%.
Okay. I mean, if your company takes over this additional lot, the bank would be inclined to continue financing the project. So, is my perception right that this would kind of add positively to the risk profile of the whole project?
Yeah, that is the reason why the banks, of course, have to approve such a new contract once we succeed in concluding such a contract with the customer, someone in the beginning of next year. That's true. That's completely right, because the project is bank financed. We're talking about nine international development banks, and this is approval which is of course essential to the further progress of the project.
All right. Okay. Then coming to your outlook, you now, mid-October, you said that the 3% margin was feasible, but certainly more ambitious. Now you reinstated the old wording of at least 3%. If you could elaborate a bit on the changed wording here and to what extent this has to do with or what has changed with the Deutsche Telekom contract?
Nothing has really changed with Deutsche Telekom, although, of course, also in that respect, the situation is somewhat dynamic. We are starting talks with the successor as a service provider, but this is not really a substantial change. It's a dynamic process as other construction projects in general. It is well understood that we have restated our initial guidance, that we came back to our initial guidance, but this is due to an overall look at the situation of the group.
Okay, but is it so the burden from Deutsche Telekom contract loss is still unchanged, but the underlying business or other projects are running better? Is that the right interpretation?
Well, the truth is that we really do not exactly know what the burden will be, and this will also be something which we'll be developing in the future with regard to talks to the successor and to the success of getting new contracts and so on. It is always, let's say, a current evaluation of the risk position which we have to make and to consider into eventually also in our books. So it's not already a fixed situation, which is 100% crystal clear, but the situation develops, and the more clarification we get, the better we can evaluate the risk.
Okay. I mean, fair point, but with regards to the guidance again, I mean, what level of extraordinary effects have you penciled in for this for the final quarter? I know there are so many moving parts, provisions here and there, but what kind of extraordinary items are penciled in? Understand a bit the underlying performance which is built in the guidance.
Well, I do not expect that we really have a new situation, for instance, in Alto Maipo or with Deutsche Telekom. This is a situation which is basically known, but of course we have to have a close eye of the further development, for instance, of the talks with the customer in Chile, of the development of our order book with Strabag PFS, and this can also develop in the fourth quarter, and hence that might also lead to a more accurate or slightly different evaluation as we have made it by the end of the first half of the year or by the end of the third quarter. But this would not mean that with regard to those factors we expect something falling out of the blue.
Okay,
but
thank you.
True, I have to admit that the fourth quarter, and you know that very well, the fourth quarter is always very decisive for Strabag's result, and it is also true we still have to go a certain way from the current figures till the figures we predict till the end of the year. But however, given the robustness of our business model, we are that confident to reach as well the top line guidance as the bottom line guidance.
Yeah. Just as a final remark, or the way I'm looking at it, because in the fourth quarter you should have good output growth. If I just take a stable EBIT, Q4 16 was $250 million, then you should get to at least 420 million Q4 last year, saw substantial one-off depreciations. Just trying to figure out how much above the 3.0% you actually can get out. So that was the way I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is true that the at least 3% on sales in line with the prediction that our output will rise in the current year also means can lead to the conclusion that the absolute figure of our result is also rising a little bit, given the point that the basis sales are tied, of course closely tied, to our output expectations. And if you predict increasing output, that could also mean, and that would be a reasonable conclusion, that also our sales would rise a little bit. And again, 3% on a risen sale means more absolute EBIT than predicted before.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Remis.
And the next question is from the line of Norbert Gretlow with Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I have a question on German traffic infrastructure. Could you maybe shed some more light on the current trends in output volume growth? And in particular, I would be interested in having a breakdown between price and volume effects. To my understanding, currently volumes are rather restricted. Construction volumes are rather restricted by bottlenecks in capacities, while it looks to me like prices are a driver. And as a follow-up, I would be interested in your view on the respective effect on margins, because I understand that Strabag has a pretty high share of own performed work in traffic infrastructure construction, which would imply that increasing prices should benefit margins. Could you please share your views on these issues?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Kretlow. It is true that also the volumes are still going up in Germany, also for us. And I would say it's a low double-digit increase still in Germany. And we expect, let's say, in the market in general, that the volumes continue to further increase till the middle of next year, because this is still the introductory phase of that midterm infrastructure plan of the federal government. They were not yet able to submit as many tenders as they need in order to reach the level which they would then have to keep on a continuous size till 2030. So this increase also in volume will continue in our eyes at least till the middle of next year. My guess is that also we still see an increase of volumes in a low double-digit amount. We are also still in a position to increase our workforce. If you have a look at the workforce in Germany, you will be seeing that as a balance, we have now more than 600 people more on our payroll than we had 2 years ago. So we are still, of course, trying to cope with that positive challenge. And the influence of price rises is not yet that important. When it comes to the result development, I was always very cautious in predicting rising margins because of such a positive market situation, because it is true that construction typically is lagging behind industry, because it could well be that in such a positive situation, your cost stemming from subcontractors and suppliers could rise faster as your prices do, or put in another way, you conclude a contract price, and afterwards you state that your suppliers' prices have been risen more than you expected before. So one must be very cautious in expecting higher margins out of higher volume. We still believe that the current market situation and transportation infrastructures in Germany will have a positive effect not only on volumes for us, but also on results. But it is still true that we do not expect our margins to go through the glass ceiling which we usually have in our business. That will be balanced out, and that will be corrected by the rising cost base, which we also see, not only with subcontractors and suppliers, but also with wages and salaries.
Interesting to know. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Kretlow.
And the next question is from the line of Daniel Leon from Erste Bank.
Hello, good morning. I would like to follow up on the German topic of, with the subcontractors and cost inflation generally being seen on the market. How do you actually do it in a tender? Are you including major subcontractors already ahead of or during the tender process in order to fix the prices, or are you really exposed to negotiations after you signed the tenders to the actual market development and the prices on the market? This will be the first one.
Thank you, Mr. Leon. Well, it is true that in certain cases with regard to building construction projects, we strive to bind subcontractors with us and also to make them guarantee their prices. This is not, however, the typical behavior in transportation infrastructures, because there you have public tenders and the hit rate is not big enough to run the risk, because it is always a certain, let's say, bilateral business. Once you ask a certain subcontractor or supplier to give you a fixed price, you should also give him the guarantee that you buy from him. And that can't be done, and that can't be risked once you are not sure to get the contract. The typical behavior there is that we, of course, we have contacts with potential subcontractors and suppliers, not have fixed contracts with them as long as we don't have the fixed contract with the customer.
Okay. Would there be maybe an adverse strategy or approach to acquire certain players on the market in order to broaden the capacities, the in-house capacities, being less dependent on market price developments?
That's a very good strategy which we pursue for many years now, because this is exactly the reason for the huge network in raw materials resources we have in our balance sheet. We have a rather high degree of sustainability already with regard to asphalt, a huge network of asphalt mixing plants. And especially in Germany, we do not rely, we are not dependent on external asphalt suppliers. We are, however, depending, of course, on the price of bitumen, because bitumen is something which we need to produce asphalt. We have a lot of gravel pits and quarries, but we don't have refineries, and hence there is still an open flank with regard to the bitumen price. But our raw materials resources network is not only a hurdle for competitors, it is also a matter of securing a certain price level and a certain stability of prices for our operational units. However, the operational units have always to pay market prices also to internal suppliers, and hence we would see the profit of a rising market not in the operational segment, in road construction, for instance, but in the raw materials business. And we believe this is the right strategy, because this keeps our operational units in line with the competition, and they must remain competitive, notwithstanding the fact that they can rely on own materials resources.
Do you see that your capacities, especially in the raw material business, is sold to third parties and maybe also already positively influencing your profitability? And how do you expect this to continue in the coming year?
It is true that in certain parts, for instance, concrete or gravel, we have also considerable percentage of our sales in the raw materials business with third parties, this makes a lot of sense, because this is often customers which can supply us in another location with their raw materials resources, and that is also a reason why we ask our operational units to pay the market price, because we are also, of course, asking the market's prices from others. And as I pointed out before, currently the raw materials business is taking a very positive course. And this is, of course, due to the market development in transportation infrastructures in basically all our core markets.
Right. And then maybe one general issue to the German market. I just read a report that focused on investment budgets for transportation infrastructure of municipalities in Germany, and it was stated that by the end of September, so after three quarters, the utilization rate of the budget was actually at 15, maybe 20%, which rather hints at really a strong investment effect that is shifted towards next year. Do you have the same visibility in this respect, or wouldn't you say that these shifts or delays are that extensive as depicted in this report?
I believe this is basically the statement is true, but it has to be differentiated very much from region to region in Germany. There are regions which are doing much better. or in, especially in the southern part of Germany, in the federal states of Baden-Württemberg and Bavaria, the situation in our eyes is much better, because the municipalities, but also the federal states' capacities of technically elaborating tenders have been much better maintained than in other regions, for instance, in North Rhine-Westphalia. So the situation is different from country, from state to state, and from municipality to municipality. But the problem is growing, or it is bigger in municipalities than in federal states. That's true, and that is because of the fact that traditionally in Germany, tenders are always based on a ready-made technical project, which means you have to technically elaborate your project. In other countries, for instance in Poland, we see much more so-called design and build contract, which means that not only the execution of a construction project is being tendered, but also the design of the project, which we of course can make because we have the design capacities. And this is a contract concept which has not yet found its way in Germany, but eventually it would be an option to get out of the situation which you have described before. In general, your statement is true. We do not consider the contracts which have not been tendered as being lost, because the need is there. It is just a matter of postponement. So they are not definitely lost, but they are just postponed to the next year or to the next year after this.
Yeah, right. Right, and then maybe just the last one. The output volume of 14.5 billion. If you translate it into revenues, would this, in your view, translate into some 12.9 billion in revenues? Would this be a fair assumption, or is there any change in the trends expected for the second quarter regarding the relationship of output and revenues?
No, I don't see a basic change there. As you have seen, the sales grew a little less than the output, and this is a fair assumption also for the full year, but no basic change in the trend, no.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank Perfect. You, Mr.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
And the next question is from the line of Saravana Bala with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Just one question left for me. Given the very high order backlog, would you say you're becoming even more selective in the projects you're bidding for? And how do you expect this to develop going forward? For instance, any expectations for margins to improve as a result, and any trend you're seeing in this respect?
A very good remark. It is true that we ask for more selective, even more selective examination of the tenders in the market than before, for two reasons. First of all, is that the order backlog is already rather high, and the second is the scarcity of our own resources, supports us in being even more selective. But it is also true that this selectiveness to a certain part will be compensated, and that would lead then to potentially higher margins because the price quality of the incoming orders should be better than before. But this effect to a certain part will be compensated by the higher costs, which we also have to cope with. And that means that the overall margin development will be limited, and that is why also in other analysts' calls, I already mentioned that we do see a certain glass ceiling for our construction margin, and we do not predict that our margin could, after having reached more than 3% last year and eventually reaching again plus 3% this year, it is not predictable that in 1 or 2 years we will be reaching 4 or even 5% due to this double development. The prices might going up. That means potentially the price quality of the contracts improves, but also the cost level is increasing, and hence the margin might have a slight positive trend. It might be more secured and less risky than in the past, but it will not grow dramatically. Was that fair enough?
Yep, sorry. Just a quick follow-up, if I can. So just to clarify, you're saying that at the moment, at least, you're seeing the improving tender environment outweighing the higher cost from subcontractors and raw materials and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing a net improvement.
Yes, a slight net improvement, yes.
Okay.
And this can
Thank
also
you.
Be clearly seen. We have one subsidiary, as you are aware, in Cologne, which is still quoted on the stock exchange in Frankfurt, and they are also, of course, publishing their figures, and their result development clearly reflects that tendency, which I outlined before.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no more further questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. And we have a follow-up question from Daniel Lyon from Erste Group.
Yeah, hello again. As you mentioned it, I think it's also an interesting point. How does the process of the delisting of Strabag Köln is currently moving on, or what's the status at the moment? What's your expectations?
Yeah, this is a question where I can give a very clear answer because it is defined by the calendar. We have in our eyes the court session on the 14th of December, which means in 15 days, and then we will know the current squeeze out process will be going on, or whether it will be delayed because the registration of the merger between Strabag AG and its parent company, Ilbauer Liegenschafts AG, will take place within short or will take a longer period of time. And that will become clear in our eyes on the 14th of December.
Excuse me, I didn't get it exactly. What will be on the 14th of December?
We have a court hearing because
a court hearing. Okay.
We applied for the release of the registration of the merger between Strabag AG and its parent company. This is the way of squeeze out which we had to choose with regard to Strabag AG because we do not own more than 95% of the shares, but only a little less than 94%. And this is the option which you have under German law. It is a squeeze out via merger into your parent company, and that needs a release decision from the relevant court in Cologne, and that decision will be published on the 14th of December.
Okay, so if you will be permitted to move on, then we should still expect some 90 million in costs for the squeeze out, and if it doesn't, what would be the strategy?
If it doesn't, we would continue with pursuing the merger, but we would also be forced to continue with the court hearings, and that can take a much longer period of time, and that would definitely lead to the fact that the squeeze out will not take place within short, and hence the money will also, of course, not being paid out.
Yeah, of course. So if the December meeting is positive, what would be the timeline then?
Well, I wonder whether we would still make it in the course of this year, but definitely in the very beginning of next year then.
Okay. And maybe a last follow-up on your CapEx. You confirmed the CapEx at 450 for this year. Would you have also already an idea of for the CapEx level for next year?
Not yet really, but I would expect again a slight increase given the structure of our asset base.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you very much.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. Since we have no further questions, I hand back to Mr. Birtel for closing comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your attention and for the intense discussion. I'm very much looking forward to talking to you next time. Thank you and all the best for Christmas and the new year. Bye-bye.